Thursday with Peter Jones. Here is his little theme tune. It's good, isn't it?
You know, I've played this constantly since last
It's a great song, isn't it? That is Pharrell Williams, just in case you want to know. But I'm joined in the studio by the man himself, Mr. Peter Jones. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Now, Peter is a writer. He's written How to Do Everything and Be Happy. And he's also written How to Eat Loads and Stay Slim with Della Gulton as well. Said the name right this time. And you're working on third book. You've nearly finished your book on relationships.
Yep. Well, it's not relationships. It's dating.
Oh, is there a difference then?
Yeah, it is a difference, isn't it? Dating happens before relationships.
Oh, so
I'll get you to the third or fourth date, but then after that, you anyway.
I think it's like your third or fourth base.
No, it's not.
Really?
Well,
I'll buy that book.
No, I'll get them to the third or the fourth date.
Yes.
And then after that, they're on their own.
Now, Peter, you have to get your mouth really close.
I thought I'm booming a bit, but you can hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Where are you booming? In your headphones?
Yeah, my headphones.
That's because I've got them turned up to 11.
Okay.
Right.
That's much better.
Is that better? Sorry.
Thank you.
Right. Now, Peter is here with Happy Club, which is every month you come in and people have been emailing in how they can be more happy, because you are a self-help guru, as we say.
Thank you.
So don't forget, you can check out, you can still buy Peter's books at the moment. His third one's coming out very soon.
What do you mean at the moment? Do you know something I don't?
Yeah, they've run me earlier and just said we're burning him outside. Nobody wants to be happy. But it's positive steps to being happy. And as you said, I was a little bit unhappy earlier.
Were you?
I'm still talking about it. And you said just
stop. Focus on what.
Because otherwise
you bring yourself down. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Focusing on the right things rather than the wrong things. Sorry.
What was that?
That's me knocking the table.
Was that a wooden leg you've got there?
I talk with my hands, which for radio.
What are they doing under the table?
Talking and on radio, it's not good, nobody can see.
Now you've got loads of questions that have come in.
We've got loads. Yep. Do you want to read the questions?
Okay, shall I do an accent as well?
If you want to do an accent.
Now we'll say what should we call them? Mrs. Miggins.
Right.
Okay, this is not their real name.
Right.
How do I control uncontrollable rage when I feel people do not follow my legitimate instructions?
Good grief.
Yeah, that scared me as well.
I know, I thought yeah, it's a scary question, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, and it is, and we'll come to that in a minute. But three things actually occurred to me about this. First of all, anger.
Mm.
And anger is usually a response when we feel that somebody's broken one of our personal rules. So you might have a rule about nobody can eat things off your plate, for instance. So if you get into a relationship where somebody is in the habit of leaning across the table and nicking a chip or something like that, that might make you feel angry. Angry or something. So anger is normally that kind of thing. The first thing I would say is, well, first of all, the reason why you're feeling angry, what are these rules that you feel are being broken, and are they appropriate, and does the other person know that they're breaking the rule? That's the first thing I say. But the second thing which really worried me about this question is the phrase uncontrollable rage. Because being angry about something it can be a perfectly reasonable response to something. Somebody does something which is wrong. Anger isn't necessarily a bad response, but uncontrollable rage, uncontrollable anything, isn't usually a good sign. And that might be, that might indicate that there's something that needs to be dealt with there, that she may have some issues.
He or she, Miggins. I'm not sure if it's a man or woman.
I think it's Mrs. Miggins, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Did say that, didn't I? Can I just ask you to just make sure you keep there.
Okay.
You keep moving.
I can't see you there. Idea? Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Anyway, so the uncontrollable rage thing. It may be that Mrs. Miggins needs to go and have a chat with a good therapist or something like that. Somebody to get to the bottom of those things. For instance, if she finds that. It might be that she's not actually reacting to these people at all, to the current situation. She might actually be rehashing an old situation from, a long time ago.
Mm.
And the third thing that occurred to me is that, everybody, all of us have people in our lives who are able to push our buttons a little bit better than other people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You must have those in your lives. Mm. People who can really get under your skin and wind you up much, much faster than anybody else.
Yes.
And, I think really, you can take practical steps sometimes to avoid those people or to be a little bit more careful when you're around those people so they don't get to push the buttons which are going to make you go boom. So that's it. So three things I would say to good old Mrs. Miggins.
Okay, right, second question. How do I achieve a healthy work-life balance, or is that too vague, as in how can you effectively balance work and home life, especially when you work from home?
Right. Work-life balance. This is a question that comes up quite a lot. And in my mind, there's three answers to this. First of all, you could work less. Let's back up a stage. I'm assuming that when she says, you know, she's having problems managing her work-life balance, that's because work is taking up far too much of her time, and she, you know, she doesn't, you know, it's disproportionate, and it's usually that way around. You don't usually get people say, you know, I'm enjoying myself far too much and not doing enough work. What would I recommend? You know, that's not a problem really. But so the first thing I would say is three ways of getting around this. And the first one is work less. Okay, which is difficult when you work from home, because companies are beginning to realise now that working from home isn't necessarily a bad thing. They found that when people work from home, they tend to work harder and for longer.
Yeah.
So the first thing is to get into a routine of when the phone gets switched off and when the computer goes off, and that's the first thing I'd say. So start to sort of like ring fence how much time you're spending doing some work. Second thing, which you could do, is to improve the non-work portion of your life. Now, this is something I do in workshops quite a lot, and I can do it with you. Michelle, what I want you to do is think of three things that you did in the last 24 hours that weren't work. And by work, I also mean anything that's like a chore or something like that. Okay? I'm going to give you 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, 10, right, come on in.
I went to Tuesday Club with the boys.
That's, yeah, yes,
and
good.
That was really good, and we had a good chat.
Yeah.
Then I went home. Then I watched a cookery program with Rick Stein.
Right, that's not bad, yeah.
And then I went to bed because I had a really bad headache and felt really ill and thought I was going to die.
Okay, all right. Well, that was pretty good, because a lot of the time in workshops, what happens is that people say they had something to eat. Mm. You know, and they went to bed and they watched television, and that's about it. That's all people can come up with. So the second thing you can do to address your work-life balance is to try and do much more, do things which have more impact in the non-work portion of your life. And the third thing you can do is to make work fun. So either change your job or do something if you're working for yourself or something like that, you know, do something which you actually enjoy doing for a living. Mm-hmm. So that even if work is taking up 90% of your life, it's giving you, you know, it's making you happy. Which leads rather nicely onto the next question, actually.
Then we'll have a quick little break, because I'll have to do some ads and some travel. But it's this.
Okay.
How can I be happy with my diet when I can't afford lobster and fillet steak each day?
I love this question.
It's weird people out there, aren't they?
I love these questions are great. okay, well, two things occurred to me about this question. First of all, what exactly is the question here? Because it could be that this question is, how can I be happy with my diet when I'm on a budget?
Yeah.
It could be that. Or it could be, how can I afford lobster and steak in each day if I so wish?
But if you had things like that every day, Peter, it wouldn't be a treat.
Well, we can come back to that in a second, because that's an interesting point. But first of all, let's say that the question is actually, how can I be happy with my diet on a budget? Mm. Okay, if it were me, what I would do is I would work out how much I've got to spend on food and work out what I can buy with the money and start doing it and start experimenting. For instance, I make a veggie bake. For instance, there's no meat in it at all. It's a vegetarian dish. But I discovered about a year ago now that the trick to enjoying vegetables, which up until then I really didn't like, is to pile as many of them into the same dish as possible. Lots of seasoning, lots of herbs and lots of spices and those sort of things. And then vegetables become like a completely different animal. So I make this veggie bake, which will feed me for like six meals. Mm. And I reckon, I estimate the whole thing, probably £10.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's...
Well, it weighs £10.
No, not well. It might weigh £10, but it also costs about £10.
Right.
I reckon. So you can eat really fantastic meals on a budget. There's whole cookery books based on. Jamie Oliver's got one out at the moment, hasn't he? So you can do that. But if the question is actually, you know, how can I afford to eat lobster and steak every single day if I so wish? Well, that kind of leads on to the next question, which we can come back to in a second.
Okay. Right, I'm just going to do some travel.
Do that.
You're right then.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to have another biscuit.
£10 worth of vegetables. You a bit of luxury, isn't it? Don't you spend £10 on buying vegetables? Would you go Marks and Spencer's?
Yeah, of course I do. Well, I buy in bulk, obviously.
You put cheese in, don't you, as well?
Well, okay, you caught me out. Yeah, I do.
And butter.
Well, and milk.
Yeah. good for you. So the vegetables, and breadcrumbs. Yeah, so all the vegetables really are just in there for show because you just smothered them in butter and cheese.
No, but they taste good as well. Vegetables do taste good.
Yeah, I like vegetables as well. I like somebody else cooking for me.
Right, is that a hint?
No. Oh. Right, here we go.
For more details about these events and many more happening in your local area, go to phoenixfm.com and click on Events Guide.
That's enough.
Was that it? Is that all?
Sorry. Right, we're back. You like this, don't you?
I love this music.
It's a great song. We're back with Peter Jones. Not the Peter Jones. Everyone keeps getting you confused with Peter Jones from Dragon's Den.
Yes, I know. I wonder whether he has the same problem.
Far richer than him.
If only.
In soul.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have the same publisher, which is interesting.
Do you?
Yeah.
I bet your books are sold more than his.
I don't know, actually. Maybe. Who knows?
I think so.
I'll ask him next time I see him.
Now, if we want to find out more about you before we start asking you more questions, the questions that come in, where can people find out more about you?
Well, probably the best site is to go to peterjonesauthor.com.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. And if you go there, that'll take you off to all the other websites to do with my books and that sort of stuff. So, that's the first place I would go if I was looking
for. When is this new book out?
What, How to Start Dating and Stop Waiting?
Yeah.
February the 14th.
Oh, that's nice. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, see what I did there?
Yeah. How to Stop Waiting and
Start Dating.
Glad you said that. I could have thought of a couple of other phrases to go in there.
It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
My book wouldn't have been published with that title. Not the one I'm thinking of. Right, anyway, moving swiftly on. I want to change my life completely.
Yes.
Jobs, my looks, where do I start on such a monumentous task?
Yes, good question. Okay, two things come to mind. Firstly, who are we going to call this person, by the way?
Dave.
Dave. All right. Firstly, Dave, what I think you should do is figure out exactly what you want. Now, what I do these days in my workshops is we do what I call a vision exercise. So imagine what your life is going to be like in 5 years' time or something like that, when you've got everything you want and you're blissfully happy and those sort of things. And so, for instance, I did this exercise on myself a little while ago, and I set aside a whole day to do it, and I sat down at my computer. And I thought, I'm going to write some thoughts down. And by 9:05, I'd finished. And what I wrote was, it's another day sitting in the sunshine, writing fiction whilst my wife goes and makes us a sandwich. And that was quite a surprise, because that was that was what came straight off the top of my head. And out of that, I realised that there were three goals. First of all, I was writing fiction.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I write non-fiction. So that was the first thing. I was sitting in the sunshine, which in this country is a bit tricky.
Yep.
And thirdly, that suddenly there was a wife in my imagination, but and it hasn't been a wife for quite a while. And I thought, okay, so those are three things... which I obviously want, which my subconscious is telling me would make me happy. So I drew up three goals from that exercise. By the way, I don't want people to start, emailing in proposals of marriage or anything like that.
Or sandwich recipes, either.
No, sandwich recipes, that's good.
That's fine.
But, that's to keep the proposals at bay. Just thought I'd get that out there. So that's the first thing I'd say to Dave. Sit down, do a vision exercise. And having done that, break them into goals. Which takes us quite nicely onto the next question.
How do I get an octopus in a paper bag? I gather you're the person who knows.
Yeah, now I want
to. You weirdo, what have you been up to?
No, ironically, this did actually come from somebody called Dave. He's one of my readers, and the reason why he asked this question is because a while back on my Facebook page, I had said that I was having a day where it felt like I was trying to get an octopus into a paper bag.
I saw that, and I just thought you'd had a breakdown or something. I used to
work for a man who used to come up with these phrases like, let's run out the flagpole and see if anybody salutes, and all these sort of things. And one of his phrases was, trying to get the octopus back in the paper bag. So I put this on Facebook, and loads of people started commenting, and people started sending me pictures of octopuses and all that sort of stuff. But it is a sort of legitimate question, because he's basically saying, life's busy, how do I get, and, life's quite hard as well, and how do I get everything done? Which leads quite nicely on to the next question, which we got.
I read that as lips. It's my eyesight. I would like to know... Sorry, that doesn't read right. I'm sorry, didn't see it like that.
That's going to change the question completely.
Sorry. I would like to know Peter's tips.
Tips?
For staying focused on goals and for being organised when my path is full of obstacles.
Right. So, okay. First of all, staying focused. The first thing I would say is that having established what your goals are, right, mm-hmm. write them down and look at them every day. So you could write them down and pin them to your mirror. If you look at, you know, perhaps when you're doing your makeup, you can see them, or to the dashboard of your car. You could create a computer wallpaper. You could put them in your wallet. That's what I've got. You know, that little area where you would normally put a picture of a loved one. I've got my three goals written down and put in my wallet. Somewhere that you can see them every single day. Because the problem is that what most people do is they set themselves goals and then they forget all about them. That's why New Year's resolutions never really seem to work. So the first thing I would say is make sure that you look at them every day. Secondly, having established what your goals are, set aside one day a month for a goals day. Now, most people go, what, a whole day? I haven't got time to do that. But we're talking about 12 days out of 365.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, one goals day a month isn't a lot to ask. Just set aside a day when you're going to work on your goals. You can work on them at other times as well, if you can do that. But at least one day would mean that you are moving the goals forward just gradually, bit by bit. And the third thing I would say, why are you smirking?
I'm not smirking. I'm not. I'm making sure I haven't got any messages coming in for you. That's all. I'm not smirking.
But, yeah, but proposals. And the third thing is to keep organised. Without going into loads of details, well, you know me. I'm an avid list maker. I make lists and lists within lists. And also, I swear by my diary as well. So, because time is the most precious commodity you've got, and everybody gets exactly the same amount of hours in the day, but it's amazing how people just witter it away. So, you know, I think it's very important to get a diary and to plan what you're going to do every single day and to schedule out time for yourself.
Yep.
Okay,
last question for today. Why is Peter Jones a mashup of two names of two band members of the Monkees? Who sent that in?
I don't know. You know that. They sent that to you directly.
That wasn't me. I just cut and pasted it.
Well, you must have known who it came from.
No, I don't, actually.
It was anonymous.
No, it came through, and I didn't look at the names. Sorry. So, yeah, why is Peter Jones a mashup of two names of two of the band members of the Monkees?
Well, ironically, my mother was a big fan of the Monkees.
Are you saying your father was from the Monkees?
I'm assuming my mum just didn't want to call me Davey. Do you remember Davey Jones?
Yeah, Davey Jones. He was a nice little one, wasn't he?
I presumably wasn't a big fan of Mickey either.
Mickey Dolenz, didn't he have funny hair?
Well, they all look a bit strange now, because I Googled this before.
Well, Davey Jones certainly does.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I'm not sure why she didn't go with Michael. That's the other person. So
so then you're not related in any way, shape or form?
What, to the Monkees?
Yeah.
No. That was actually a question which I left off the list. It was that...
It's on this list here.
There was another one from somebody else. Said, my mum's maiden name was Jones. Maybe we're related.
It is quite a common name, though, Jones, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
But there's not many Peter Joneses.
Now, give us a clue. Now, your new book, as you said, it's about relationships. Stop waiting and dating.
No, about dating.
How to stop waiting and start dating.
Yes.
Why can't you just call it something normal? So, come on, can you give us any clues from one thing that will attract a mate?
One thing. It's full of... I mean, there is loads and loads in the book. But, okay, I'll tell you one thing.
I've got one for you. After sex, don't bite their head off and kill them like a
praying mantis.
Yeah, because you'll never see them again.
Top tip.
Don't kill somebody after you have sex with them.
I don't think that's in the book.
No, should be, though.
Well, I'm not sure there's enough room now.
At the front of the book. Can you not put that in front of the book? Just one of my top tips is, after sex, don't kill the person you just had sex with for a long-lasting relationship.
Did I tell you this one, the importance of photographs on your online dating profile? Did I tell you about that one?
You say it's, you know, but I remember it, but tell everybody else because they might not.
If you're a man, then it's important. The photos that work best are the ones where you're not smiling and where you're kind of looking away into the distance in a thoughtful way.
Why not smiling?
I don't know the reasons why, but the research shows that the male photos are better where you're not looking at the camera and where you're not smiling. But the reverse is true for ladies. If you're a lady, it's very important to be looking at the camera and smiling. Those photos do statistically better. Yep. And also, when you take your photo, to hold the camera slightly above your head.
Yep.
Which is a much more flattering angle. Photographers have known that for years anyway.
So I always take pictures of myself.
Yeah, the whole, they call it the MySpace photo. You know, that's a much more flattering thing to do. And also, if the picture is an action photo as well, so if you like playing a guitar, talking on the radio, riding a horse, you know, petting a dog, something like that. Some sort of like thing where you're just, where you're doing something, those photos work better.
Why would you put a picture of yourself on a dating site on a horse?
Because it looks like you're, you know, you're a sort of person who's fun and active, and you're not just sitting there sort of like trying to smile at the camera
eating
and looking awkward. No, eating a pie is fine.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
As long as you're smiling.
And anyway, the book is full of stuff like that. It's full of actual sort of scientifically provable ways of making dating work for you. I'm very excited about this.
Have you got a new picture to go on the front of it? Have you had your pictures taken for the...
I did have my pictures taken a little while
ago. I know,
back,
but is that going to go on the new book? Is that going to go on
It'll
the front
be on the back. It won't be on the front cover.
What are you going to have on the front cover?
It'll just probably be a graphical sort of, like, colourful
thing. Can I be on the front cover?
I think actually the cover's designed now.
I could have been on it just like... You could have been like, why is she waiting and not dating? And then they would have said, well, we have pictures wrong. You could have done a bit inside with me, like, smiling and then not... Like, you know, like photo booth pictures.
You are determined to
be in
this book.
Because you can go, this is how not to pose. And you could have done a little section my pictures, all the dodgy ones.
I did do that. I did do a sort of like the, which picture works better, but I used me because I didn't think I could just.
What, just use a random person?
Nobody no, couldn't use a random person.
This is Michelle.
All sorts of legal problems there.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, this has gone really quickly again. Thank you.
It always does, doesn't it?
And thank you for answering so many questions.
You're very welcome. But it's the same time again next month.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, are you going to bring more biscuits?
I'll bring more biscuits, yeah. I won't be so shaky next time you see me.
I have that effect on you, though.
I know you do.
Yeah.
It's the... I don't want to talk about it on here. right. Sorry, I've gone really nervous again. Here's Missing Andy. Thank you very much. We'll see you again next month.
See you later.
Bye. I'm dirty Susanna. I've got problems with grammar. So